Message, M. 035, The Mind of Christ. A word given by Cecil J. DuSeal, 3rd of April, 1971.
Praise God. For 25 years, I have been hoping and praying that God will bring up people who will walk in what they preach. I remember so many years ago, we were walking in what we were preaching, but our preaching was never carrying the light that is carrying now. We never saw this light. We were walking in a low realm, a low light, though we were walking absolutely in what we were preaching. In those days, we had no sick in our midst. We had no, none ever went to the doctor. Those who got sick, they were healed and delivered. 25 years, never been to the doctor. Well, I've been to the doctor to tell him how to do, but not to be attended to, or maybe to get a certificate when I was coming to the United States. And he marveled over the physical condition that we were in, and it could be nothing else but God, people living without ever knowing whether they were sick and were healed or not. I remember the time we got pneumonia and began to this hip pain under the heart. Oh, severe pain. And the spitting of blood. Every time I cough, blood would come. And I know it was some very serious thing. But that wasn't my business. That was God's business. I was God's tool. I was God's man. I searched myself. There was nothing in me that I knew of that was, against God. And so I said, God, if I'm your man and you want me to live, you've got to make me live now. And so I said, I'm going to do everything so that if you want me to die now, I won't resist you at all. So I stopped eating. In the midst of pneumonia, first day, it was a Tuesday, I caught the pneumonia. And I just put on my pajamas, went into bed, and said, okay, God, you got me where you want me. Say, I'm here now. And I lay down there for 40 days. Never had any water, never had any food. And God came to me every morning. To my mind, it seemed that he was just humoring me. For it was somebody actually making jokes with me and talking with me. And then he showed me a little chart uphill. And he said, you are here today. So one day the church people got very righteous indignation. And one sister especially, she rushed down and she grabbed me and held me down in the bed. And I was so weak, I just couldn't do anything about it. And she put hot cornmeal on my chest. They call it poultice. And man, she rubbed me down and she said, you all going to stay and let him die. And I'm trying to tell her no. And then she just held me down. About four women came and held me down and they rubbed me up. And as soon as they were gone, the Lord came back and he said, well, boy, you are down here. And boy, I caught a double cold on top of the one that I had. And it was the whole month of April. Every time April come, I remember that. And the whole month of April, and in May, sometime in May, God said, okay, you're all right now. But I couldn't get up. I couldn't open my eyes. I was so weak. And they propped me up. And my brother didn't know where I was. I was out of touch with me, but the Lord just sent him with one bottle of cod liver oil and malt in a bottle, and he just said, this is what the Lord told me to bring for you. And he was shocked to see me. I was shocked when I looked in the mirror. I could never believe that was me, for my eyes have gone down a hole and it was just all skin and bones. But I survived and I was up and doing. And I feel that we've got to begin to walk in what we preach. Amen. And those who walk through it are going to be the strongest ones. Those are the people who are going to strengthen other people. Many of us are sick, many of us are being attacked by the devil, and I am sort of glad, because I had never seen, just never seen, any other group who are trying so hard to walk in what they believe. And it really makes me feel good. I wait for 25 years to see a group of people who will be willing to put their lives on the line for what they preach. I mean, it is a matter of character. It's a matter of character. Hardly, just not even just the normal, not even Christianity. It's just a matter of character. That you believe this thing, you preach it to other people, you want other people to do it, therefore you will stand in it. And you'll stand in it if it costs you your life. For what is life? What is life without God? And then if we have God, God is our life. And He's got to be. Amen. Why? We are taking an uphill grade. In 2 years' time, we are going to run into such vicious circumstances that it's going to try us down to the very foundation of what we are preaching and believing. And if we can't stand a little flu, then brethren, I'm telling you, when they begin to screw your thumbs and to torture you, I don't know what you are going to do. For this is what God said the church would go through. A time of trial, a time when we will become giants in the spirit. My God, a time when we will think it and it be done. Glory to God. A time when we'll believe God so powerfully that God said fire will come down from heaven and burn our enemies. I told you why. Fire wouldn't come down now and burn people. I tell you why we wouldn't preach and pray God just hit him over there or just knock him over his head. Amen. Because we are not of that spirit. Then you're going to ask me, then how come we're going to get up to be of that spirit? How come Elijah just called down fire and burned those people? Listen, we are running into a time when humanity will become so depraved that there will be some complete sinners. What am I talking about? I mean sinners completely diabolical, alien life. They won't be able to be saved. You remember that scripture which tells us that there will be a mark in the forehead. And that mark in the forehead means that in their minds they will become aliens to God, aliens to righteousness, completely. They'll be killing a man, cutting his throat, and they feel quite happy about it, like the Manson crowd. Because their minds shall have been taken by Satan so much that they will not even know right from wrong. Amen. Amen. We have a thing named conscience, and your conscience won't allow you to do certain things to other people, but they will be past that stage. And this is what God is telling us. So when these people come head on clash with the sons of God, there'll be nothing else but God will use the fullness of his power upon them, for they shall have already been dead spiritually. So tonight, you know, I was sitting there and the Lord began to speak to me about the mind. And then I went in there to look at the scripture, and I heard Brother Mac over there coming with a prophecy with the exact words that the Lord was saying to me. Amen. And so I realized that God was saying that I should speak to you about the mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We are now at the stage where the more we think about the higher things, the more we are lifted. If you have a flu, if you have a cold, don't think about the flu, don't think about the cold, but think about something higher, and your mind will lift you and you won't feel any flu. Glory to God. When I'm standing before you, I don't have any flu. No matter how sick I am, and I get up here, I come in the house of the Lord, and suddenly the sickness, oops, it's gone out through the back door. I know. Amen. That this is the key. Amen. This is the key, and God is commanding you to put it into the lock and turn it. Amen. Your mind lifts you up into the spirit. Amen. Amen. We're just going to read some scriptures. And I tell you what, if I'm reading along here and a scripture, not if, but the Lord tells me that he's going to just give you in the crowd here the words, scriptures. I read one scripture and the Lord give you one. You call it out, let us read that one too. That's what's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The first is Romans 8 and 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. First of all, let us look at the word carnal. What is the meaning of the word carnal? Pardon me. The carnus means meat, flesh. And the word carnally generally refers to flesh, but it has a wider application, and it refers to all things which are not spiritual. So there are some reasonable right things that are carnal. Reasonable, carnal, right things. All of us drive in cars to come here, and it's a natural car. And if you spend all day thinking about the car, when you get here, you wouldn't be of any use. You see what I mean? So God is saying that we must begin to lift our thoughts off the carnal things. For if you continue to think on the carnal things, then that is dead. Some of us want to live. We want to live. We just dying to live. But we are oh, that one was funny. We're just dying to live. But we have our minds on the carnal things, and these things are dead things. Let me see if I can explain what this death mean. Dead things mean things which do not lead to the life which is in God. It's like a road that leads to a cul-de-sac, a dead end. You see, they are good for you to take if you want to go to some place there, but if you continue on that road, it will lead you to nowhere. And this one leads over the precipice. So anything that is carnal, anything that is natural, anything that pertains to this life, thinking on it leads you overboard. And this is one of the reasons that most of our children and young men who we sent to the universities and sent to the big schools spend too much of their time thinking about the natural things, the sciences that they are learning at school, and they miss God. So we get some very, very wise fools. Very, very wise fools. People who think too much on the natural things, they lose touch with the spiritual things. Now, brethren, I try to find out why. And it brings us back to the same thought that we took the last time here. Here is God's heaven above us. And these realms that are above us are not up there. Praise God. They are right here. But they are above us in a different frequency. And these realms are lifting us up towards them. So God is everywhere. That's how God can be in heaven and at the same time being everywhere. Because heaven is everywhere. But it is in another dimension, another realm, another frequency, if you want to put it that way, that we can understand it. So therefore we have many frequencies right here in this room, many frequencies going on in this room, and we can contact these frequencies. Amen. So the man who studies in his mind about demon spirits and demon worship, he goes and he contacts a demon spirit and he causes a demon spirit to come to him and do his bidding, like you'd call a dog and send that dog out to bite someone or to fetch your newspaper. I mean, I've seen that with my own eyes. Now, that can be done. Therefore, you can see that this also can be done, that we can also contact the other realm of God, reach out. It's right here. It's nowhere. Somewhere. Oh, God. That's the way I used to hear a man pray. Oh, you could stay blocks down and hear him pray. He said, oh, God. And his God was pretty far away. But we have a God who God says is nearer than your very breath. Said God is nearer than your breath. What could be nearer than your breath except that he is in your very mind? So we find, therefore, coming from the realms of heaven, we find the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, our Holy Spirit, and he is reaching out to man's spirit. Man's spirit. And why he's reaching out to man's spirit? Because man's spirit is intimately knitted to man's soul. And the most spiritual part of your soul, or your the head of your soul, is your mind. That part. So you can well see what is happening, that there is a contact with your soul pulling you up into the realms of heaven, so that you might be of the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ filters down through here. Come into your mind. Therefore, if we obey the mind of Christ, which is to dwell and to think upon spiritual things, we will become spiritual. One scripture says, a man thinketh, what? So is he. Man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you continue thinking about anything, you just become like that thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I notice most of the doctors that work in the psychiatric ward and deal with the crazy people, they get crazy after a while. He thinks crazy. He has to think crazy to deal with the crazy people. And after a while, he gets off. Mm-hmm. So, as a man thinketh in his heart, I hope none of you. Well, praise God. Well, thank God for the body of Christ. Some of us get to change our thoughts. So praise God, if you continue thinking over anything, you will become the thing, because you become what you behold. Amen. You find some policemen become criminals after a while because they think so much about the criminals and they get so much into the criminal mind that they themselves are overcome by the same spirit that overcomes the criminal. Now, there is an astounding thing I'm going to say tonight to you, something that has been coming to me in the spirit through a few days, that my mind is spirit. It's not natural, carnal, physical. You can't touch your mind, can you? You have a brain, but your brain is only machinery which your mind uses to communicate to this body. Your body is like a computer. So then your mind is the operator of the computer. Now, your spirit is the operator over your mind, who hasn't got sovereignty over your mind, but he has as much sovereignty over your mind as your mind gives him. And your mind is subject to your emotions and your desires and your will. So those four work together, and the spirit works together trying to pull man up into a higher realm. Now, this is it. I understand that when a spirit comes before you, he sees both your body, your spirit, and your soul. And he can see the intention of your soul before it comes out to be an action in your body. Somebody was asking me, can demon spirits read your mind? They can't read your mind, but when your mind, I knew it all the while, but it just didn't occur to me that they were seeing your mind. Amen. They were seeing your spirit, because spirits can see spirits. We can't see spirit. Well, unless we get into some other realm, or the spirit come into our realm in some way or the other. But we can't see them, but they can see each other. And so your spirit can be seen by another spirit, whether it be an angel of God or a demon spirit, and the intention of your spirit, your mind or your soul, can be seen when it comes out into an action, even before the action comes out into the body. Praise God. And that is the reason I told you the story of when I was speaking to that demon spirit, and it came into my mind to rebuke him. By the time I rose up to rebuke him, he had just turned and gingerly walked through the door. And he actually moved before I moved. But the thing was in my mind, and he saw it. So praise be to God. We can understand then this scripture in Romans. Let's get to the other scripture. Verse 6. Ye have sown. You want to read it for me, brother?
For who hath known the mind of the Lord? That's 1 Corinthians 2:16.
I was reading the wrong. What are you reading now? Sorry. Yes, I was reading the wrong thing. Go ahead.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Where was that read?
1 Corinthians 2:16.
1 Corinthians 2:16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. We get the mind of Christ through the spirit channel. This is our channel through which we receive the mind of Christ, coming through from the Holy Spirit, from God. Then when we are filled with the Christ Spirit will be part of our motivation. I don't want to make it too hard for you to understand. When we are filled with Christ in our souls, or not even when we are filled, but before we are filled, When the Christ is in our souls, there is a certain amount of motivation that the Christ motivates us, just like an unborn child will motivate a mother to do certain things, to want certain things, to feel certain feelings, to have certain desires, to have certain emotions. Just as an unborn child will motivate a mother, so the Christ Spirit in us motivates us. Hallelujah. Amen. Please read the other one for me.
Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen. The other verse is good.
That's the only one.
Oh, sorry, you didn't have the 2:6, the sixth verse. Though somebody find it, Philippians 2:5, and read the sixth verse for me.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yet, seventh verse.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant.
Yeah.
Made in the likeness of men.
Yeah.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Quite. Praise God. Now, we see what kind of mind this Christ had. He had a job to do. And he didn't think what he was God or anything like that, but he just humbled himself in order that he might accomplish the will of his Father. And this great humbling, you hardly would understand it, brethren. I understand a little of it, and let me just explain it to you. Jesus knew he was God. He was God in the spirit, he was God in the soul, and he knew it. He had the power to do anything he wanted to do, including to blast off the devil and put him into a place that he would never come back. He had the power to do away with sickness. He had the power to do away with sleep. He had the power to do away with eating. He had the power of not being tired. Yet he chose within himself to remain in the form of a servant and to be subject to everything that the human being was subjected to. Try put yourself in that position. As we are sick with a little cold, bam, we want to be better immediately. Of course, that's what's in us. We don't want to be sick. We don't want to. I mean, who wants to? Nobody wants that. But Jesus had the power to do away with even tiredness, with even eating or sleeping or anything like that, and he remained. And he finally, when those devils came down on him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they decided to kill him right there. For they found out that he was going to go to the cross, and they were going to shed his blood, and they just didn't want his blood to come out, and they decided to kill him right in the garden. And upon the pain of death, Jesus would not use his powers. They got down on him and they began to murder him, actually. And the Bible said that his blood vessels burst. The Bible didn't say his blood vessels burst, but that's what it meant. If blood comes through your sweat glands, check with any doctor, it means your blood vessels break. Blood come through your sweat glands. And this is what happened to him. And he would have died in the Garden of Gethsemane, but God sent angels and healed him and sent him to the cross. And he would not use his power. He was tempted to use his power badly. That was one of his greatest temptations. And I can tell you of a fact that the Lord showed me this one, that Jesus Christ was so tempted that when the Peter chopped the man's ear off, he said, I could call 10,000 of my angels. 10,000 angels. One angel would be enough to destroy this whole world. He said he could call 10,000 of his angels. But, put up your sword, Peter. And so that shows us what was in his mind. That shows us the temptation that was going on within him. Jesus Christ, therefore, had the worst temptation when he was tempted to use his powers. Now tonight, if you came through, suppose you found out since morning that you had this magnificent power, that God had brought you through into the fullness of Christ, and you could speak one word and chain the devil, would you do it? The devil wouldn't last longer than a snowball in hell. No, sir, I don't think he would last. You see, because we are not matured. How would you like to have all that power and a coal hit you? Amen. You'd want to blast the devil off immediately. But he said, Father, what is your will? Amen. Father, what is your will? So here we are dealing with the mind of Christ, a peculiar mind that is willing at all times and at all costs to be in the will of the Father, not to be in his own will. You know, it's something to think about. Sometimes you want to do something and you don't mind what, you don't care just what God say. If the people of God bring you 100 visions or 100 words from the Lord, you just want to say, well, she was overeating last night or something else. She had a wrong vision. And you want to make the whole body wrong just in order to have your own way.
Yes, amen.
My God, that spirit, we've got to get rid of it.
Amen.
If it were somebody else, you would say they should obey the word of the Lord. But because it is I, oh, the mighty I, I just want to have this one way, this one time. It's never one time. It's always more than one. So may God help us to be of the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, who he was God, and yet he humbled himself in the form of a servant and suffered all that the servant suffered. Now let's take the other one, Psalm 48 and 9. And it said, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And it's not saying we in the midst of thy temple have thought of thy loving kindness, but we have thought of thy loving kindness while you, God, were in the midst of your temple. Amen. And that would bring us to thinking on God, thinking on things pertaining to God. This is the way to overcome, to be continuously thinking on that which is above. I wonder if we get that. Amen. Just let us bring it down to brass tacks. If you have a cold, if you're suffering with any attack from the enemy, don't think on the attack. Don't think on how bad I feel, how I'm wretched, how I'm poor, how I'm weak, I'm sorry. Just start thinking on something else about God that is higher than that cold. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I foresee the time when you will just walk into the presence of the people of God and you'll be healed.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. I can feel it here. Many people suffering, and yet the power of God's healing is now going out in this congregation. And everybody who will claim it will receive it, and you'll walk out through this door feeling 10 times better.
Yes.
Blessed be to God Almighty, because your mind has begun to move in a different realm.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Why is it those devil worshippers up in San Francisco could take off their clothes and go down by the beach in 40 degrees weather and walk up and down naked to prove how they were being protected by Spirit and they didn't feel cold and they didn't catch any cold. Why? Because their minds were taken by another spirit. Amen. What's wrong with us? God says, rise up, Zion. Claim your possession. Move up in the spirit, said the Lord God. For there is greater to come. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's check on that again now. Request the next one.
Psalms 119:59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony.
Praise God. It was the thinking on his ways that gave him the strength to turn his feet. Amen. His feet were heavy. He couldn't turn. But he wanted to turn and he couldn't turn. So what he did? He thought on his ways. Praise be to God. Again, I'm making a lot of references on the wrong side of the fence, but again, I remember the night when I got up and saw clean through the wall and realized that something peculiar was happening, and I saw this demon spirit walk right up into my yard. And when I jumped up to accost him in the name of the Lord, he came through that wall and grabbed me so that I couldn't talk, knocked me down on the bed. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, well, maybe you are of the devil. Why demon spirits have so much power over you? But that thing would have killed most of you if it's not for God. And yeah, when that happened, God whispered in my left ear. He said, it's not a natural fight, it's a spiritual war. And I thought, I began to think. I brought the cross before me. I didn't wait for a vision, brethren. I didn't wait for a supernatural manifestation. It was warfare and I was being choked. Amen. And I couldn't do anything. I thought. So praise God. This is what the psalmist is telling you about. Read that again for me, Ray. I thought on my ways, eh?
And turned my feet unto
and turned. My feet was pretty heavy. My my head was heavy. My tongue was heavy. My breath was cut off. And I better thought. Amen. You see, I just had to think. And I thought. Amen. About Jesus and his cross and his blood to deliver me.
Hallelujah.
My God, and when the blood began to flow in my mind, I tell you, I didn't wait for a vision. I made my own vision. Yes. And the blood began to flow in my mind. It jerked the enemy. That's why I know they see your mind.
Hallelujah.
That was a sword to him. I didn't say a word because he didn't permit me to talk. Amen. I don't know if he talked English anyhow. Amen. He was just at my throat and I couldn't move my head. I tried. Couldn't move my head, but I could think. And I thought. Amen. David said, I thought on my ways, then I could move my feet. I thought on the cross and I could move my head and my tongue cried out, Jesus, and it knocked him away over there. Blessed be to God. I want you to see what I'm talking about. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about spirit energy. Energy, as a matter of fact, energy is not natural. Energy is spirit.
Yeah.
Spiritual. We have learned to harness certain energy and we harness it and we get the light and we harness little energy here and little energy there. But that's plaything in comparison to the energy that is being used by spirits, God's angels, amen, and the devil's angels. And so it's a matter of understanding where the power source of your energy lies. And if you want to pull energy down into your mind or into your soul for use for anything, then you must pull it through God's channel. And it's in us. Well, let's say it's available to us. It's part of our spirit, soul, and body. But we can get it through to the soul if we think on the things above. I mean, I have just discovered my Bible. No, honestly, I've just discovered my Bible. Watch what God did with the children of Israel. He came along to them. He said to them, don't eat pork. He said, don't eat pork. Don't eat so and so. Don't eat so and so. Eat so and so and eat so and so. And he even told them to eat grasshoppers. Right? Good. And they didn't know why. But God was giving them a food that would they could survive in a dry desert place without water and without disease. Amen. He came to Manoah's wife and he said, you're going to have a son, he said, but you don't eat any unclean meat and don't drink any wine. Why? Why? When Paul said a little wine is good for the stomach, see, not for your stomach. He said, you're a pregnant woman and you're going to bring forth a child, and that child must be clean and without certain things happening to his nervous system before he's born. Don't you take anything like that. So we see God never explained himself. He just left it to wisdom. He said, no, you don't do that. And you find out that it works. And here we have God telling us to think on things above, not on things of the earth. And we couldn't understand why, but no, knowledge has increased. And we understand why when we think now, we are pulling energy from higher realms. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. You think on things on the earth, they come to pass. You think on the devil too much, the devil come to you and he does you all kinds of things. Because you think about him too much. If one of you get afraid now, amen. You go home, the devil hits you. Amen. Because you're afraid of him. And he sees the fear.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. You know, once I was supposed to be a bee expert. And I used to keep the government bees and inspect the apiaries and all like that. And one thing I noticed about bees is that they pick up fear quicker than anything else in you. If you fear them, you are an enemy. Just an enemy if you fear them. So you come in and you're afraid of the bees and they smell the sweat of fear. And boy, they come at you. I go in the apiary with another person and I have on no veil, no gloves. The bees leave me and giving him all that he can. Because he's afraid. They smell fear. Amen. And they are tuned to all your nerve centers. A bee wouldn't strike you unless he gets you on a nerve center. The tip of your nose or ears or somewhere that is painful. And they see the nerve centers pulsating and they go for them. Now, this I say this to let you know that if this is in nature, so it is in the spirit. Amen. Satan picks up fear. Why? Because fear is his nature. Amen. Fear is part of his nature. He comes down on you before he can overcome you. He makes you afraid. Has you afraid that which I fear has come upon me? Yes. Why could Satan hit Job with what he feared? Because he feared. Hallelujah. So then in the area of the soul or the mind, here it is that we are going to conquer, or we are going to overcome, or be overcome. If you keep thinking on things above, Think you see the natural thing, the destruction before you. Don't think on what your eyes see. Don't believe those eyes you've got there. Don't believe your ears. You hear it, you see it, don't believe it. Begin to think on what you want. Yes, I see that it's so, but I want it to be this. Hallelujah. Praise be to God, it must be. And this is why we are getting so many blows now. God wants us to learn to overcome.
Amen.
We begin to think higher and we begin to rise. Oh God, let it be so. Amen. Read again for me, brother.
Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit.
Amen. Read again.
Okay.
Romans 12:3.
Want to read Proverbs 21:5? Okay. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen. Praise God. He's dealing with wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. If we say we are sons of God, we are thinking high, but don't feel that we are that in the flesh, for you will go low. You see, you think high and you get low, and that happens to many people I know, sons of God, and they walk around, they feel we are sons of God, and they walk it and they feel it, and they say, oh, sons of God must have the biggest cars, and they must have the best houses, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, they go off on a sideline. Man, you know, the more power, the more the greater the destruction. A train plow off its main line and run onto a sideline, and boy, it will soon come to an end. So God help us. I really praise God for a people who want to walk with God, who want to walk with Him. Praise God. It said He was going to bring such a people at the end time. Hardcore. Yeah, hardcore. People who, he called them His elect. His elect. Go ahead, brother.
Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness.
Yeah.
But to everyone that is hasty, only to want.
Praise God. I know, we are a people who do not think of plenteousness in the carnal sense. For our Bible is a thing that if you take it carnally, you receive the carnal benefits.
Yeah.
And the carnal benefits keep pointing you to the fact that you're not receiving all. In other words, the Bible is written for man on every realm and on every stage and in every strata of thought and behavior. And if the Bible speak of plenteousness and you believe in plenteousness in the carnal, you will get it. But the plenteousness in the carnal will be trying to teach you that it's no good.
Amen.
And if you don't get the message, you'll continue like a foolish person and go off into destruction. You know what I'm talking about. Many of the men who preach abundant life, they have got so much abundance in the carnal that they have lost the abundance in the spiritual. Amen. We don't want the carnal abundance. Man, I'd prefer die of hunger than to get that thing there, that million dollars, and become a fool.
Amen.
And lose God and the glory that I see before me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My good God. Abundant life is what I'm after, brethren. I want to possess the promised land. I want to possess everything that God has said to Abraham. I want to be like Abraham when I walk through the land, see all the riches of the land, turn my back on it and said, God, this is trash. I seek a country.
Amen.
whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's the only time I'm going to be satisfied. When I'm so filled with the power and the Spirit of God that I can heal the broken heart. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The only time I'll be satisfied is when I can march in here and speak to the demons in the church, in the body of Christ, and every demon must flee out of the body of Christ. Yeah, yeah. And leave the people of God free.
Yeah.
That's abundant life. Life. Life and energy, that if I walk along that street like Peter, the shadow would heal the people sitting on the sidewalk.
Amen.
Glory to God, that's life.
Amen.
Now that's abundant life, brother. So much that it comes bursting out of you. That's what I call abundant life. And how are you going to get it? By thinking on things which are above, and not on things which are on the earth. Because the pattern of the things down here pass away, and there's no good, it's a blind alley, but the things which are above are eternal. Blessed be to God Almighty. Go again for me, brother.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just,
God,
whatsoever things are pure,
yeah,
whatsoever things are lovely,
yeah,
whatsoever things are of good report,
yeah,
if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these
things. Jesus, this is the key. That is the key, and that's what came forth in the prophecy. That's whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, said, think on these things. Think on them. My God, that's a thought pattern for all times. Now, today, did we think of everything that was just, that was honest? You know, some of us get ourselves messed up in other men's matters. Yes. We switch on the radio, we listen to the news. We hear Kali being tried for a Mile High incident. And we put ourselves in it and say, they should let him go. We enter into a sin that wasn't ours. We should not leave those people's business alone. Let them deal with it. Sorry for humanity on the whole. For those who are killed and those who kill them. They are like poor little boys, just struggling in the sea of death. And we pray for them, oh God, send some light. Yeah. Send some light to them, oh Jesus. You know, Kali and all of them are caught in a kind of maelstrom, a whirlpool of doom, killing and be killed. Poor little things. Can you imagine them as little babies in their mother's arms? Those mothers were hoping that they become great men.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give them to God. And this is what they are. From poor brother Nixon right down. Yes, brother Nixon is trying his best. You watch the things he does and what he said. He's trying his best. But he can't do it. He's just. You get sorry for these people, but never put yourself in their sin.
Yeah.
Amen. Be not ye partakers of other men's sins.
Yeah.
The moment you agree with the war, or you agree with those who fighting against the war, or you agree with the one side or the other, you put yourself into a certain sin bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And you enter into a sin you never committed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you see what I'm talking about? God wants you to think on things which are above. Name them out again for me, brother.
He says, whatsoever things are just.
Just. Amen.
Whatsoever things are honest.
Honest.
Whatsoever things are true.
True.
Whatsoever things are pure.
Pure.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Lovely.
Whatsoever things are of good report.
Good report.
If there be any virtue. And
virtue.
If there be any praise, think on these things.
You know, the amusing part about all that he said there. Some of the things that we think on, they are just, but not honest, or of good report. Amen. Two men outside there fighting. Amen. And you said, this one is right. Amen. it might be a certain sense justice, eh? This one might be right as far as justice is concerned, but it's not of good report. They're fighting over something that you had no right to be in. Can you see? So if the thing is just, it must be honest. If it's honest, it must be of good report. If it's of good report, it must be true. And if it's true, it must be lovely, brother. Just don't write lovely. It mustn't be weird or ugly or shady. It must just be lovely. So that can tie you right up into a very narrow knot. You see, a narrow place, and you've got to have it right and have it straight. Praise God. That's the key, you know. We could really stop here. Let's see what the complement to that, brother. The next.
That's it. Oh, I see what
you're
saying. Yeah. It's Deuteronomy 8:5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee.
Hey, the thought pattern of the Christian is completely documented in the Bible. It's put down, it's set down. The Bible tells you what to think. I don't know how we could go wrong. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, he says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words.
Yeah.
Pleasant. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The thoughts of the foolishness is sin.
Yeah.
And the scorner is an abomination to men. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?
Praise God. Amen.
That is found in Jeremiah 4:14.
Yeah.
And he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy.
And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, that's Matthew 6:28. They toil not, and neither do they spin. 29. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Praise be to God. Amen. Hebrews 3:1. Find that one. Hebrews 3:1. Somebody read that for me.
Who was faithful to him that appointed him? And also Moses was faithful in all. Is 3:1?
Yep.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling.
Of
the apostles, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Did I say the wrong one?
No, that was me.
Take Hebrews 12:2. In other words, they are exhorting you to a certain type of consideration, a way to consider, a way to think, things to think about.
How about Philippians 2:1-5?
Give us that. Read first.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy.
Yeah.
Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Praise God.
Nothing be done through strife.
Hallelujah. For vain glory.
Lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than himself.
Yes.
Every man on his own thing.
My God.
Every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. So you see that the word thing is not a modern day word. His own thing. It really said things. Praise God. Amen. Yes, let's take now Hebrews. Was it 12 and 2?
Yes.
Somebody get me that one.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Three now. Three.
For consider that
him.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Yeah. You know what he was saying? That Jesus was the Christ. He had all power. He had even the power to overshadow these men who were contradicting him. And yet he didn't. He said, consider him. You think about him. That he allowed himself to be contradicted. And though he knew he was right and he was God and he was speaking from heaven. And yet he allowed himself to be contradicted. Praise God. And let's go on with our reading lesson a little bit more.
In 1 Timothy 4:16 or 15, he says, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all.
To all men.
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee.
Hmm. You understand? It is by continuously thinking on them and by going over them that you shall save yourself and them that hear you. Praise God. The meditation upon the Word of God. What is this?
Psalms 1:2.
Okay, let's try that.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Day and night. Praise God. And the Bible said, when he meditate in his law day and night, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, whose fruits, whose leaf shall not wither. Oh.
And whatsoever
you do, it shall prosper. And he said, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You can well see that because he meditates in the Word of God, he is planted firm. I wish I could get this thought into your souls tonight. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein thy day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Imagine that. That is a formula for success. Formula for success. Praise God. And Psalm 4:4.
Stand in awe and sin not, Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still.
Amen. Commune, you heard that? He's giving you the same kind of advice I gave you. Some people say when they lie down on their bed, they fall asleep. But David said he used to lie down on his bed and commune with God. He says, commune on your bed. And if the bed is too soft, get under it. Some of you don't have any under bed. Well, get on the floor then. But apart from prayer, we need meditation, you know, to just think about God, just talk to God. Some people say God won't talk to them, but you would be surprised to know what would happen to you if you would just spend an hour with God. Just think about things of God. Think about heaven. Think about what God's saying. Think about the word you have received. And while you are thinking, God will come right in so cutely in that thinking that you don't know when you stop thinking from when God started motivating your thoughts. Amen. Praise God. God don't require anything more from you than just turn your thoughts to Him. Turn your thoughts to Him and you'll see it will work. I hope when we get back here, you can all give a testimony that you tried it out and it worked. Just find some time for God. We find time for everything. We're going to school. We go to school to study, to find time, to fit ourselves for job. No, God says study His word. Get into His word. And we can hardly find time to get into God's word. Why? Because we are being jammed. You know, like one radio station jamming another. That's what's happening to us. Something is crossing our wires and jamming us so that we can't get on to God. But you fight through, bore through, and you'll have the victory. Yeah? Is there another one?
Yeah. I need to.
Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You heard what? The word of my mouth and the what? Meditation of my heart. Well, God bless you. I am not going to keep you any longer. There's much, much more. Much more. I don't want to give you too much. I just wanted you to get the idea. So praise God. Somebody else might even finish it. God bless you.
You know, we have a great privilege in coming here,
amen,
worshiping,
yes,
in this place.
Yes.
You know, there's things to overcome. And I was thinking last week as we met here how that I got so sleepy, you know, and a lot of reasons came to me for that sleepiness. But then a thought came, and it says, if you were over in Russia or some country where worship was dear to you, how do you think that you would let the things that are, that deter your attention, yeah, there deter them here?
Yeah.
And I said, no. It's only I let my attention be deterred because I wanted it to be deterred. And so we have a privilege here to overcome the enemy,
yes,
in another way.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right.
That's right. And so when he tries to lull us to sleep or make us tired or disinterested, then we say, Satan, you get behind me.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen.
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 Hi.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Because you see, when we first came up here to have meetings in this area, the Lord definitely impressed us in a certain way concerning oppressing spirits up here that don't deal with the area where we are as heavily as up here. And you see, we didn't come up here because we were afraid, but because we believed that God would have us to come up here to dispel this.
Amen.
And so we expect a warfare, and we're engaged in that warfare, and we're winning.
Amen.
We're winning.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So even though it gets a little stuffy in here, and when it happens, praise God.
Amen.
I mean, put a smile on your face and say, God, I thank you. And I want to see if you're big enough in me this time to overcome this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until we gain complete victory over,
yes,
so that the heat or nothing else can dictate how,
amen,
we worship God.
That's right.
Because it's different, isn't it?
Amen.
It is, and, but it shouldn't be. And I don't want it to be. And I know none of us do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's sing victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I thought maybe we had a few testimonies of victory that you'd like to share before we all go home.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I think I have one that is right along the line of the message tonight. So it's very easy for me to think. I don't know, somewhere around this morning or so, it was very easy for me to think that I didn't have any more strength, and there were many reasons in the natural why I had no more strength. And there were a lot of thoughts in my mind that were constricting my freedom in the Lord. And I laid down on my bed. I felt the Spirit say, come and rest and reason with me. And as I laid there, the Lord just very definitely began to show me what my mind was thinking and what I was... I didn't see you, Jackie. Excuse me. what my mind was thinking and what I was accepting. Now, all of this was very true. I mean, it all happened and so on and so forth. But then he showed me even what was in... hidden in my mind, hidden in my heart that I was thinking and that I was acting on, and I had no idea I was thinking it. I was thinking, I can't go on, I must fail. And the Lord showed me why I thought I had to fail. This is all ridiculous, but it still was built up there.
It's
an old pattern. And I thought, well, yeah. I didn't know that I couldn't go on because I was telling myself that I had to fail. I said, I didn't know, this news to me. And so I just laid hold of the word of God, and I claimed my mind in Christ Jesus, and I bound fear, and I bound weariness, and I, you know, as the Spirit led me, and I read a marvelous chapter in kind of Whitehall Smith's book, Christian Secret of a Happy Life, which I felt led to kind of get out and review some parts of it, and one of these chapters mentions about putting your will on the side of God. Yes. And taking that word and willing it, and then paying no attention to what you feel and think, and as you have willed it, and you know, God, then you're taking God's will, His word. He will bring those emotions and those thoughts right under that that will that you know that you have said, "I will to be alive to God and dead to sin. I will.
Praise
my mind
Amen.
Is a sound mind and all."
Amen.
And you know, so I felt, you know, this fear, and I felt all like I didn't pay attention to that, you know, and so on and so forth. And I put on the armor as the Spirit led me, and I got up and went about my business, you know. And when it came time for my next, shall I say, challenge, I was a completely free person. Completely free, absolutely. But it was the word of the Lord. But it was, for me, a perfect example of something that I have had to fight for many years. And praise the Lord, I'm really fighting for my victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd like to share something God's been telling me in the last 10 minutes, and that is He has called us to be as Jesus was and is today, and it's not an impossible walk, because it was not impossible for Christ, for He was flesh. And many of us, I know I myself many times, say, "Well, I can't do it," or I get frightened, or I get disgusted because I keep falling and I don't always do it perfectly. But He has called us to be as Christ, and He has called us as sons.
Amen.
And we got to quit looking at ourselves as
Amen.
As ourselves.
Yes.
We have to look at ourselves as Christ,
yes.
not
yes.
as ourselves, because if we look at us, we'll never make it.
Yeah.
But if we look at ourselves as we are Christ, we are the Son
Praise
of God,
God,
and to walk forward. And God just said, He says, it's very easy if you'll forget who you are and walk the Christ part of you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
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 And we have Thank to have God. That same kind of mind toward our brother.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yeah.
And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Praise God.
Wherefore put away, etc., etc., etc. Have nothing more to do with these things.
Yeah.
The word that came to me just before I read that was over in Ephesians, where it speaks about our armor in Christ Jesus in chapter 6. And something stood out like a light come to my mind while ago, and it says this. Take the helmet of salvation.
Yeah.
Your mind. That
covering.
Amen.
Every morning when you wake up, bless the Lord, oh my
Praise
soul.
God.
This
yes,
is the day the Lord has made. I will. I do rejoice, and I'm glad of it. I put on in the name of Jesus the helmet of salvation, that my mind might be kept. That my mind might be kept from all the fiery darts of the enemy.
Yeah.
Praise God. Be renewed in the spirit. What spirit are you, he says? Of what spirit are you? It's in your mind that these things come forth and that they gain entrance in.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord. I said all that just to praise God and to tell you, I told Rusty a few weeks ago, I have to testify of this. For a year, I had an attack fasten up on both my lungs, and it worked into a pleurisy through all the rib cages, and everything in me hurt, to the back, to the chest, the glands under the arms swollen, and certain ways I laid in the bed, I'd be wake up with the sharp pain, stabbing pains, and I was holding fast that good confession.
Praise Him.
And some people said, that's a lie, that's contradictory. No, the symptoms were a lie.
Yes.
And that laid hold, or tried to lay hold, it did. It stayed there a year to the month. Because about 3 months before that, the Lord had dealt with me in regards to, you are what you confess,
yeah.
began to walk what you're talking, begin to declare my word. Look not at what you see and feel, but confess this, the author and finisher of your faith. And you know, it for some people to step out, depending on the condition you are, in the natural it could mean suicide. But I tell you, when you step out on this word, you're stepping out on the surest foundation that you can possibly step on. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. His word is sure. But we are afraid to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. We're afraid to acknowledge His word. We are. It's fear. And perfect love casts out all fear. Therefore, it says, bring into subjection your mind, your thoughts, these things, to the word of Christ. And let this dwell in you, Richie, and confess this word. That is the truth. Yeah. Your feelings are the lie.
Yes,
what you see are contradicted to the word.
Yes.
And if I'm in the word and the word is in me, then this is truth.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
But you see, the battle here is of the mind warring against the spirit and the spirit against the war, and the old body just kind of torn back and forth. But eventually the Lord will say to you, is my word true? Yes. Believest thou this? Choose you this day? Align yourself one way or the other. You can't stay walking on this fence in this middle road any longer. This is what He's saying to this people today.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, thy word is true. And it's hidden my heart. I do not want to sin against you by walking and talking inconsistently. Oh God, let it be into me. Let it be in me.
Yes, Father.
Yeah.
And for over a year, I had a lot of Lyme symptoms.
Yeah.
But I left behind so many things as I kept walking.
I kept walking.
And I kept calling on God for the grace and the strength to do it. There were days before that, years before that, because I didn't have an instantaneous healing or instantaneous manifestation, I'd be taken again by my mind.
Yeah.
But eventually the Lord says, all right, there's a line to be drawn here. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you keep reverting back to that old thought, you're going to be sick and you're going to stay sick.
Amen.
But put on.
On.
Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh.
Amen.
That's what He's saying to you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And ask God to birth in you that courage of spirit. Lord, I will believe, I choose to believe. God, birth in me this courageous spirit that will believe you against all contradictions. God will honor His word.
Thank you,
Lord. And show Himself, He says, strong and mighty on behalf of those who will put their trust in Him. Amen. Praise God. But you know, during that year, from the year of January to last year, I finally had the final testing of testings. And listen, that one was just a pure hateful onslaught of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He could really finally hate your guts until you know it so well that you hate him back with an equal hate, if that's possible. I believe there's a godly hatred that supersedes the satanic hatred. If you come to the place that the love of God can so find its place in you, there's a perfect love, and I think there's a perfect hate.
Yep.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, when you can look at the enemy, when he comes up on you, looks at you, and say, in the name of Jesus, he hates you, I hate you, you have nothing in me. Mm-hmm. And you know, he knows that you mean it, and you will be daring enough to say that, he just melts.
Yes.
He really has to go away like a whipped dog.
Mm-hmm.
And God has promised when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will, because every step you take in this, you're going to be sorely tried and contested by the enemy of your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm moving a little past. I'm talking about people whose minds now have been taken and submitted and have chosen to confess this word. Now I'm talking about how the enemy hates it so much that he is going to do everything he can to discourage you, to wear you down, to wear you out, to keep you from passing that mark and that goal.
Amen.
But I want to tell you that we're more than conquerors in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I confess
about
15 months I was walking in divine health because I was walking on into life and putting on Christ. And I knew I was no longer dealing with divine healing, but divine health because of putting on Jesus Christ. And I began to see walking right in to that eternal state that God's called a company to.
Amen.
Hey.
And bless the Lord.
Jesus.
Very often, the more I testified of it, Here I stand here, fools for Christ's sake, praise God, but I'm saying without fear.
Praise his name.
The last time I stood and talked about divine healing, I couldn't see straight, I couldn't hear, I was staggering on my feet, and it was the day before. I was knocked for a loop, and for about 5 days could hardly breathe at all. But God said, declare my word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Declare my word.
Amen.
Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you. He will give you the courage to stand, yes, having done all stand, and yes, to say what he wants you to say. And will he not watch over his word and honor it?
Amen.
And though the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise his standard against him. We have got to cease being afraid to die.
Thank God.
You've got to overcome that fear, and you can do it by the grace of God, of dying this old
thing.
Amen.
Though he slay me yet, while I trust him.
Amen.
God will enable you to overcome that, I want to say, pantyweight fear, because it really is. That's the one the enemy will snag you on. In the final analysis, many of us will go through all types of testing, but when it gets too tight, we'll say, my skin. I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. And then our mind takes over, and we revert them back to the arm of flesh and power.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but God is calling the people that are going to move right on. Praise God. And I want to bless the Lord that of a fact, I'm sound. I'm walking experientially, manifestly in divine health. I have never been this healthy in my life, because I've never known health before. I mean lung flow, I mean spine, I mean all these organs working, and all those that were out, as I'm concerned, they're back in, because I am functioning my divine energy.
Hallelujah.
And I receive every day a fresh every day of divine energy. Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to prove or show off, but it's just as I walk in him, I receive.
Amen.
The secret is each step I receive. Another step I receive.
Amen.
And it's more than adequate for the need.
Yes, amen.
And I am enjoying divine health. And you know what our aim is and what we're called to. Bless God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
This is the end of message, M. 035, The Mind of Christ.